Welcome back to our 20th episode. Previously, we introduced the 12th and final chapter of the Rambam's Mishneh Torah. These are a collection of rulings. Rulings about the end of time, the coming of Mashiach, a new, blessed, wonderful period within what we call our human civilization. A time of peace, incredible prosperity, a time of the knowledge and awareness of our Creator saturating all of existence. The Rambam makes a point of clarifying or defining that future reality, if you will. As we learned in the previous episode, he starts Perek Yud Beis with the words Al Yala Al Daitcha. One should not bring to mind or think or entertain the notion that in the days of Mashiach, Yibot El Dover Mimin Hoge Shalom, that the world as we know it, or nuclear physics, is going to be radically altered. Rather, the world is going to continue to function as it has functioned up until now. Doesn't Isaiah say that the wolf will lie with the lamb? The Rambam says, Inyan HaDavar, what this is really about is that Yisrael Yoshvim LeBetach Im Rishay Olam, that the Jewish people will be able to dwell in perfect peace with the wicked nations of the world who have previously persecuted. Nations that have disabled the Jewish people from fulfilling their mission and their purpose. So the question is, why define this future reality when nobody really knows with certainty what it's going to look like? As mentioned, the Ravid, chief protagonist of the Rambam, immediately attacks. He pounces on the Rambam and he says, how could Rambam say this? It's an open verse in Torah Moshe, in the Pentateuch Chumash itself, that says, V'hishbati chai ro min ha'oretz. The Migdal Oz says that, truth be told, there is a verse in the Torah that says, Lo yiso goy el goy cherev. One nation will no longer rise and declare war on the other. They won't raise weapons against each other. And if so, that is a definition of the future, and that would seem to indicate that all of this could naturally be a metaphor. Further defending the Rambam's position, the Migdal Oz says, Rambam himself, a short while later, in this very chapter, at the end of Halacha Beis, says, V'cholelu hadvarim uchayetze bahen, speaking of whether there is going to be the arrival or appearance of Elijah the prophet prior to the coming of Mashiach, Rambam says, Lo yeda odom hech yiyu. Exactly or precisely how this is all going to unfold, nobody really knows, ad sheyiyu, until it'll be. Shedvarim stumim him etzel hanaviim, because this remains kind of a mystery, even to the prophets, or at least in the prophetic tradition. So the obvious question then is, if the Migdal Oz is defending the Rambam and invoking the Rambam's own words, in which he says, we aren't certain of how that future reality is going to play out, what propelled or forced the Rambam's hand? Why does he have to issue a ruling about what the future will look like? In the previous episode, we suggested that this has everything to do with our present faith. The mandate that we as Torah Jews have to believe in the coming of Mashiach, as the Rambam outlined previously. Mi she'eini ma'amin bo, one who doesn't believe in the coming of Mashiach, o eino mechakeh, or does not await biato, his arrival, he's in essence in denial of the whole Torah. So the Rambam is telling us, what precisely we believe in or what we're anticipating. And yet, although the Rebbe offers this answer, and it's an innovation, the Rebbe himself then raises the question. And he says, "Hagufa taima boy." This itself needs to be better understood. After all, why define messianic reality? What's wrong with a person saying, "I believe in the coming of Mashiach. I eagerly anticipate and await his arrival"? Well, what exactly does that mean, sir? You await what? To which a Torah Jew can simply say, "I await a better world. I believe that there will be an anointed individual who will usher in a blessed new era in which everything will be infinitely better than the way it is now." What's wrong with that? Why is it necessary to specifically outline in detail what precisely I anticipate or await? A world that'll look like Alice's Wonderland, or a world that's going to be very much like the world we live in today? And if somebody wishes to take or believe that these prophecies will unfold in real time in the most literal way, is that a deficiency? So Mashiach comes and he finds out that that which he imagined to be wasn't quite so. And then, what really has he lost by believing or assuming that the prophecies were literal? So the Rebbe says that this really has everything to do with the thesis that we've developed over the last 17 or 18 episodes. Namely, this concept that the coming of Mashiach does not represent God's prophesied end to misery, hate, anti-Semitism, fear, or anxiety. No, Mashiach is not the panacea for economic collapse. A Mashiach's arrival is not destined to simply change the minutiae or difficulty of the challenges people face today. The essence of Mashiach, we have learned, is about Shleimut HaTorah V'HaMitzvah. We were created so that we might be privileged to enter into a relationship with the Creator. And that relationship is presently unfulfilled. It's a potential that has remained untapped. Some of that is circumstantial. Some of that is because we simply have never reached the zenith or full maturation of our potential. When Mashiach comes, we will enter into a perfect, wondrous relationship with God, the likes of which the prophets and the sages yearn for. That's what Mashiach's about. And of course, when we have that beautiful, blessed, and perfect relationship with God, there will be no hunger and there will be no want. There will be no lack and therefore no competition. Everything will be found in great abundance, but material plenty will not be our focus. All of these things that people speak of when they look forward to the coming of Mashiach will indeed unfold. But that'll be what they call a side effect. That's not the essence of Mashiach. So the Rebbe suggests that the Rambam is trying to continue to drive home this precise point. Al yale al daitcha. Do not think shebi yemoisa Mashiach yivot al dover. Oh, soon Mashiach is coming. And when Mashiach comes, I'll be able to have chocolate croissants growing on my front yard. And there'll be endless gold and silver. and I'll have little leprechauns running around and doing everything for me. The Rambam says, that's not what you should be thinking about. What you should be thinking about is experiencing total peace. And that all of the things that have become obstacles to your realizing the full potential of your relationship with Hashem will all evaporate. And you will be able to achieve and to reach its fullest fruition. That's what Mashiach's about. The Rebbe points out that this is not only because at present we aren't able to do everything we want in the area of Yiddishkeit because life gets in the way. But even the mitzvahs that we can do today, we aren't really doing them in what the Rambam calls kehogin. Kehogin means in the most precise and perfect way. The Rebbe directs our attention to the words of the Rambam in the Laws of Tshuva. That's a compilation of rules that are found in the first book of Rambam called Sefer Amada. There in the 9th chapter in Halacha 2, the Rambam says, why was it that people yearned for Mashiach? Not ordinary people. Prophets, scholars, saints. Kedei sheyanuchu mimalchuyos. So that the various governments and impediments they set up to the fulfillment of a Yiddishkeit would be removed. These are the kinds of things she'eino manichos lehem lasik b'torah u'b'mitzvos kehogen. They aren't allowing us to properly fulfill Torah and mitzvahs. How many people will say to you, I wish I could spend more time studying Torah. I wish I could spend more time engrossed in prayer. I wish I had more money to give to tzedakah to help those who are needy. But I don't have more money, and I have to work really hard to make the little bit that I do have. Well, imagine a time where you wouldn't have those challenges or issues. Imagine a time when there would be no lack, no privation. Then you'd be able to perform the whole range of Yiddishkeit opportunities kehoigen. The Rebbe says that if you look carefully at the words of the Rambam, you'll see that even the mitzvot we perform today, ultimately, are kind of lackluster and fall short. He says, when Mashiach will come, we will find margoya, respite. V'yirbu b'chochma. There'll be an explosion of knowledge so that we might inherit eternity. Be'otam hayamim, in those days, tirba hadas, hadeya. There'll be a tremendous amount of knowledge, of wisdom, and emet. And the Rambam quotes three verses. He says, verse 1, Isaiah 11, verse 9 says, Mola ha'aretz deya. The world will be saturated or filled with knowledge. Furthermore, there's another verse that says, Lo yilamdu od ish esreyehu. This is taken from Jeremiah 31, verse 33. Nobody will teach one another. That means there'll be a great deal of wisdom out there. And finally, the truth. The truth is that Ezekiel says, not once, but twice, V'hasiroti et lev ha'evan mibesarchem. I will move the stony heart of indifference from your flesh. This is found in Ezekiel's prophecies, chapter 11, verse 19. Ezekiel speaks about that future, and Yechezkel says, V'nasati lehem lev echad. I'm going to give them a united heart, one heart. It'll be a ruach chadasha, a new spirit. If you take a look in the commentaries, Radak says Lev Echad means Liyira Es Hashvaya, to revere Hashem, to honor God properly. He says, not the way it is today, where Libam Pone Alato Avot, where a person's heart tugs in various different directions, seeking oftentimes abominable kinds of things because you can perhaps garner a moment of sensual libido or pleasure. Rather, their hearts will be miyuchad lekel levado. Our hearts will be focused and dedicated only on Hashem. My dear friends, that's what Mashiach's about. Hashem will take away that heart of stone, Radak says, chazok ke'evin, hard, strong as stone, milakabel tochachat musa, from accepting something that isn't complimentary. Biting words, criticism that's meant to be constructive. The Medrash Lamdeinu says on this verse that the Yetzer Hara slowly but surely takes a person and guides him in the wrong direction. However, those rocks that he throws in the path of our spiritual growth will be removed, vaporized forever when Mashiach comes. And that's the meaning of the removal of the stony nature of heart. Rashi tells us that a lev basar is a lev rach, a soft heart, a heart that is noyach, lihikona, that is easily humbled before Hashem. Mitzudas David, speaking about this verse, he says that we will not have any doubts. Our faith will be perfect. B'chol lev ya'aminu b'Hashem. This verse that the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Tshuva is also found in the 36th chapter of Ezekiel's prophecies. There in the 26th verse he says, I will give a lev chodosh, a new heart. A new heart, says Rashi? A yetzer, an inclination. Most of us refer to the yetzer as the yetzer hara, the evil inclination that takes us down the garden path of sin. But when Mashiach comes, there'll be a new inclination. An inclination, shenitchadesh letova, that'll be renewed, but it will push us in a good direction. A lev chadash, says the Mitzudas David, is a straightforward heart, a heart that desires and wants only goodness. Hashem will take away the hard and stony heart of indifference. He will give us, says Mitzudas Tzion, a desire. A desire to be selflessly connected to the Creator, to serve God and others, to provide for others in service of Hashem. So this, my friends, is really what the coming of Mashiach is about. And as such, what the Rambam is doing is not making a ruling on reality, but he's giving you a reality check. He's saying to you, you yearn for and await Mashiach? Why? What is it that you yearn for? What is it that you await? If you're looking for riches and fun, that's not called awaiting Mashiach. That's called waiting to win the lottery. If you're looking for a world in which there'll be no sickness and no pain, that's called a blessing of good health. If you're looking for a world in which there'll be no anti-Semitism and hate, that's called living in a nice, decent world. For none of that do you need Mashiach. Mashiach's coming is not about a magical transformation of the world as we know it. Mashiach's coming, the Rambam is trying to tell us, is about experiencing the fullness of our relationship with God. And if that's what you're awaiting, if that's what you're anticipating, if that's what you believe in, well, then the obvious question is, why wouldn't you do as much as you can now? You know, one of the parts of my job I really don't like is fundraising. And sometimes I'll ask a person to help us in our activities and they'll say, well, you know, if I had $1 million, Rabbi, I'd give it to you. To which I say, yeah, but you have 5,000. My friends, Mashiach hasn't yet come. We can't experience the fullness of our relationship with Hashem, but we can experience a much fuller relationship than we are experiencing now. Having the right perspective about Mashiach and yearning for Mashiach should inspire us and uplift us to live a Mashiach-dika life. And a Mashiach-dika life means a life which is devoted and dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The kind of life that accelerates the process of redemption, that brings Mashiach's coming closer, b'mheira u'b'yameinu, speedily, and in our days, amen. I'll be back with Hashem's help, and we'll continue to unfold the gems and diamonds, the incredible wisdom packed into the pithy words of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah about the long-anticipated and awaited coming of Mashiach. May it be b'mheira u'b'yameinu, amen. Thanks for joining.